Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Mental fortitude. That's the nothing personal word of the day. It is Tuesday, April 23rd, 2024, and you are looking live. If you're watching this on DraftKings Network or on the YouTube channel live, you're seeing a background that I've never done a show before in this manner. We are live in Paris. Ran the London Marathon on Sunday. Just want to catch everyone up on what mental fortitude means. It's when you didn't properly train, you don't deserve to be at the start line. You think you're having the greatest day ever because the weather is good and you feel so good. You get to mile 18 and your body goes into shutdown. And I don't mean a little shutdown. I mean complete renal shutdown. Everything. I felt it happening. Pulled over to the side of the road. I said, all right, today's not my day. And then I realized I was stuck. There was nothing I could do. I couldn't get back to the hotel. It's been a crazy month, thanks to all of you and all the live shows we do and the tour that we're on. I had to keep going. And so I had to fight with myself, and I didn't post this video because I didn't record it. I didn't want to touch my phone, but let me just bring you inside a conversation with myself at mile 18 when your body has collapsed. Basically, I said, look around at the people who were passing me like I was a styrofoam cup in a river with no current. And I'm being passed by people who I don't think are in as good a shape as I am, maybe older than I am, certainly had trained. And then I saw some Achilles athletes. Achilles athletes in marathons are impaired, physically impaired, visually impaired. Some are in wheelchairs. And they are doing things that are just inspirational. And then I thought about my friend Brett, who does all these athletic things with Parkinson's, and how hard it is for him having to plan out what pills he takes during the race to try to stop from tremors happening while running marathons. And I just basically call myself a cat. And I said, I'm doing this. And I found a way to take a step and a step and a step, and I could barely move, and I finished. So I was thinking about mental fortitude, and I was thinking about all the times in baseball or in my career when it would have been so easy just to quit. And I remember the feeling in Berlin when I quit last year and didn't finish that marathon, and I just didn't want to feel it. So I felt great for finishing. The impact is now. So now I'm paying the price for not having trained. The price is that my back, calves, quads, hammies, and chafing situation are quite staggering. If you've never chafed before, then you don't know what I'm talking about. If you have, the shower after the chafe, when you don't know you've chafed, and then you realize within a quarter of a second of the water hitting your body, that feeling, that's a bad one. But I want to thank London. All of the people who put that race on, the volunteers were incredible. The crowds were incredible, inspirational. 49,000 runners. Coca Cara told me that I came in 48,752nd, I think. And I said, hell yeah, I finished. 5 hours, 46 minutes on my feet. Plus, of course, you have to walk back to the hotel at the end of the marathon. It ends at Buckingham Palace. And I was staying right near the London Eye across the Westminster Bridge. Suffice it to say, it was an extra 1.5 miles. On top of that, my watch at the end of the marathon said 27.52, because a marathon is 26.2 miles, but you don't go as the crow flies. You don't go exactly on the blue line because you can't. And so I was livid. When I got to 26.2, Coke, I should have called you. I was just going to stop, pretend I went through the finish line. I just did a marathon, except I was still over a mile from the actual finish line. Anyway, so then we came to Paris that night, Sunday night. Not a smart plan. Got so stiff on the train that it had to be rolled off the train, basically. But we're back doing live shows. And we got a live show today, tomorrow, Thursday. And I'm really glad that we do, because so much is going on. And I want to get to it right now. I want to start in the NBA. But I want you to keep in mind over the next three segments we're going to talk about. We're going to talk about the Lakers, we're going to talk about the Knicks, and we're going to talk about the Yankees. We're not going to talk about the result. Yeah, the Nuggets beat the Lakers. The Lakers had a 20-point lead. Nuggets are now 2-0. Lakers have lost 10 in a row to Denver. Go get that somewhere else. Not going to talk about the Knicks being up 2-0, how great it would be if I were still the type of Knicks fan I was. Is Jalen Brunson better than Bernard King, Sugar Ray Richardson, Derek Harper, Rolando Blackman, or John Starks? Not going to have the conversation. Are the Yankees outperforming right now, or are they finally playing the way they should be playing? Go get that elsewhere. Let's talk about a thread that is common through all three of those teams and all three of those games and every league. We're talking about referees, umpires. It was not a great day to be an NBA referee or a Major League Baseball umpire. Before we get to what LeBron said, and we're going to show you the tape, I want to frame this by asking you all a very simple question. How many of you, by a show of hands — I wish we were at a live show right now because, well, we're live, but no one's in front of me except nobody, literally. Show of hands, how many of you think that you could be a Major League umpire or an NBA referee? I'm assuming none of you raised your hand because you recognize, or an NFL umpire or a back judge, side judge. I assume that you all realize that it's as hard to be at the top of that profession as it is to actually be a professional athlete, or as it is to be a managing director at a big Wall Street firm. These are the best of the best. All right. So I'm going to assume, though I have no way of confirming this, but I'm going to assume no one. All right, next. Next question for you to think about. How many of you think that NBA referees and MLB umpires should be held more accountable for when they don't get calls right? I'm going to guess there's a few people with your hands creeping up. How are you held accountable in your job when you're tired or grumpy or had a fight with someone at home, or you just missed something, or you didn't deliver a paper that was supposed to be delivered or send an email that was supposed to be sent? I'm just curious, how many times does that happen? And don't you dare say never. Don't you do it. And when it does happen, is it fireable? Do you think to yourself, oh, that wasn't a big email? If I had emailed the formula — my favorite expression — if I've emailed the formula for Coke to people at Pepsi, well, I think that would be fireable. If I forgot to send an email to follow up on a sponsor presentation, I don't think that's fireable. And then the world exists somewhere in between. I think we can all agree with that. At least I'd like to think so. If not, you'll have an opportunity for rebuttal. So listen to what LeBron said after the game last night.
I don't understand what's going on in the replay center, to be honest. I think I said it this year or last year, whatever. D'Lo clearly gets hit in the face on a drive. What the f*** do we have a replay center? This is going to go. It doesn't make sense to me. It makes no sense to me. It bothers me. Sorry I didn't answer your question, but that is like. And then I just saw what happened with the Sixers Nick game too. What are we doing?
What are we doing? I like that expression. What are we doing? Well, LeBron, we're playing basketball. So let's take this one at a time, and let's go right down to the Lakers. And what LeBron was trying to tell you is that he views the replay center as the final arbiter of all that's fair and just in the world. So when there's a call that's supposed to happen, and it doesn't happen, the replay center makes it happen. When there's a call that happened that wasn't supposed to happen, the replay center swoops in and unmakes it. It's sort of like the replay center in Secaucus for Major League Baseball. But what he's impugning is that the replay center did exactly as it was supposed to do. Foul called on Porter Jr., the one who's playing basketball still, the brother that's playing. Foul called. Michael Malone calls a timeout, which is what you need to do to challenge. Picture it like throwing the red flag in football or major league managers going like this. Side note, Coca. Side note. Do you know how much time we spent when we were inventing replay? Because I was a part of that committee. And we were deciding what managers were going to do. We had people suggesting that they've got a towel that they throw onto the field, but John Schultz didn't like that. And a bunch of people didn't like the thought of something being thrown onto a baseball field. And then we thought maybe the manager just comes out of the dugout, but we were like, that takes too much time to come all the way out of the dugout and to just say to the umpire, we're challenging it. So what was finally agreed to is that it would have to be a signal. But then we said we have to make it a universal signal. We can't just have every team choosing a different signal. So I said, all right, let's go like this. It's so ridiculous because you've got the coach in the background on the phone, either play on, or the coach in the background goes like this. So then the manager holds his hands to his ears, as in put your headset on, we're going to replay. I wanted there to be a towel. I thought it'd be hilarious because there's always a bat boy around because both sides have bat boys. So my view was, let's throw something sponsored on the field. Then, like a Price is Right thing, when you hit a button and then its flag goes up, like the cliff guy when he goes over the cliff because you guess too many prices. Anyone remembering that? Anyone? So I wanted a little button or just a sponsored flag because then the ball boy can just go pick it up and it doesn't delay the game. And there's like a deadline, like a timer, because usually it has to be before the next pitch or they come up with, you have to call a timeout in basketball. It's before the next play in football. I say, screw that. I want a system where you've got blank seconds. But the fight came from the teams, the GMs, where they said, listen, we need time. Our video guy needs time to be able to communicate to the manager whether or not this is going to prevail. And that's when communication started between the tunnel, the video room, the dugout. That is the birth of the garbage can scandal, folks. That is how communication is happening, where people in the video room are communicating straight with the dugout. And you can imagine you can communicate when you should challenge, or you can communicate, hey, here's what's happening. Here's the next pitch. Okay. I have no idea why we were just talking about that. But in any case, Lakers challenge. Michael Malone challenges the foul call on Michael Porter. And guess what? It gets overruled and no call. LeBron, on that video that you just heard, or on the sound that you just heard, is trying to say that the replay officials obviously got it wrong. But my question is, why would any player think that replay officials ever get anything wrong? We've never thought that MLB umpires in the umpire room in Secaucus got it wrong. We may disagree with it, but they've got an entire system in front of them. They've got every angle. They can play at real speed. They can cut it down frame by frame the way the Sixers' Maxi got his jersey grabbed by Jalen Brunson that all over the internet looks like it's the worst flagrant foul of all time, except that's because it's cut down frame by frame. For crying out loud, Meatloaf, cut down an NFL play frame by frame. There's offensive holding every play. There's defensive holding every play. There's jersey grabbing every play. There's hands in your face, hands on your body. Incidental contact, marginal contact. You got to draw the line. You can't call a foul and have it be a foul if it's marginal contact. And that's what the call was in Denver, and that's it. But LeBron, it's a big deal what he did because he's LeBron James. If the 12th man, if what's his first name, Coca, the guy who got overpaid on the Lakers, Reeves, is that it? I can't remember his first name. Brian Reeves. Bryant Reeves, or was that the big guy on Vancouver and Memphis? Big Country. I'm having a very funny Paris moment right now. Austin Reeves. Do you remember Big Country? Was that his name? That's way before your time, I think. There may be no one listening to this show other than 20%, 22% of you who even know the Vancouver Grizzlies had a big guy named Bryant Reeves. Anyway, so if Austin Reeves takes the table after a game, one more side note, Coke, I'm sorry. Do you know how we decide who does the interviews after the game? A playoff game, MLB PR. During the regular season, it's your own team PR. You go to the player who is the player of the game, who hit the walk-off home run. You say, hey, will you meet the media? And if that player's a baby and says no, then you have to go to another player because you have to make players available to meet the media. In postseason, it's MLB public relations. They have a whole separate department, and they're in charge of the postgame pressers. And so they go up to players, and they say, you, let's do the on-field. You're going to go into the press conference room. It's a whole thing. Austin Reeves isn't going in there. They want to hear from LeBron James after the Lakers play. And when LeBron James starts talking about referees the way he did, as someone who was on the team side, I'm thinking to myself, he's going to get fined. And he should get fined. As bad as we think a referee's call is, we were always taught and told, keep it in-house. Don't publicly discuss it because it makes us look incompetent. It makes it look as though the referees are bad and they don't like being shown up. It makes it look as though we don't control the referees, which we don't like because it makes us look incompetent and like our hands are tied. So just don't talk about it, because if you do, you're going to get fined. As a matter of fact, Coca, I've got to wait to see here. Wait to see is when I tell you something's going to happen. If it does, great. If not, fine. Wait to see. LeBron James is going to get fined for what he said after the game about the referees in the Laker game and about the referees in the Sixers game. The Philadelphia 76ers are down 0-2 to the New York Knicks, and it is possible it's because there was a Reggie Miller moment at the Garden. Reggie Miller moment is when the Knicks have a lead and you leave and you're passing by the hot dog stand on your way walking down the stairs because you want to see if you can get a cab before the other 19,761 people at the game. And all of a sudden you hear a weird bit of groaning, and then you look at the little tiny 12-inch TV at one of the concession stands and you look up and you see Reggie Miller scoring and then scoring and then scoring. You're like, wait a minute, I can't make it back to my seats even. I'm watching the end of the most famous end, arguably, I would say, Coke, I don't know where you stand on this. Reggie Miller scoring, well, I don't know what he scored. Was it 12 points in 30 seconds or 9 points in 20 seconds? It was in a playoff game, Pacers-Knicks. I don't remember the year. My guess is it was 1995, but I'm not positive. It was 8 points in 9 seconds. Thank you. Did you know that off the top of your head, Coca? I highly doubt that. So I'm going to say he did not. What year was that? Was it 95? So my guess is that that is in the top 10 for sure of ends at the Garden, both Knicks and Rangers. Last night may be up there, what the Knicks were able to do to come back and win that game. And it was unbelievable. So Brunson hit a three, then DiVincenzo misses a three. They get a rebound by Hartenstein, and then DiVincenzo hits a go-ahead three. All of this happens. And it goes from a Knick deficit to they win 104-101. They're up 2-0. Fine. A couple things happened after the game. Number one, Joel Embiid, because that's who's going to talk to the media, he was quite upset. He was upset about the lack of foul call on Maxi, which is what LeBron referenced. And then he did something quite bizarre where he said, I love our fight. I love our position. We are going to win this series. Now, that takes all kind of cojones. When you're down 2-0, they got to beat the Knicks 4-5 games. The Sixers, in my opinion, have not been able to beat anybody 4-5 times. I'm wondering if they won 4-5 games during the course of the season. And certainly it was not against the same opponent. A 2-0 lead in a best of 7, it's not insurmountable, but it's pretty amazing. Do I think the series is over? No. Would I guarantee victory Joe Namath style if I were Joel Embiid? No, I would not. But then Embiid impugned the referees. And he said that he believes that when the two-minute report comes out, which is the funny thing that leagues do now to try to tell you, oh, a call was missed, or oh, this was the correct call. I am vehemently against two-minute reports. I am against referee transparency in that manner. I don't want a two-minute report. Give me a 48-minute report or give me nothing. Don't give me the last 2 minutes because I'm too aggravated because of all the crap that happened in the first 46. But I digress. Embiid was talking about the two-minute report, and it's going to come out, and he just viewed it as totally unacceptable. He said, you know, we played 47 fighting minutes of basketball, and then for 20 seconds, the whole game to be ripped out of our hands. Well, I get it. So the Sixers, of course, have to back up Embiid. So there's a rumor that they are going to file a complaint with the league over the officiating. I filed a few complaints over umpiring. I will quickly tell you how that goes. You don't win those. The commissioner's office doesn't want to hear from you. When you call up and say, listen, you're giving all the advantage to the Yankees or the Knicks, or you choose a New York team, or you're looking for a big market team. It's great for the NBA going into the media rights deals. Oh, is this a real thing? You bet your bippy it is. Do you know how good it is for the NBA to have the Knicks make a deep playoff run as they are in a no longer exclusive period of negotiating with TNT, ESPN? Now they're negotiating with all potential rights holders. To have the numbers that New York generates, it's like manna from heaven. Speaking of which, happy Passover. Otherwise known as the 8 days a year where you're so constipated that even fiber doesn't help. If you know, you know. It's called matzah. I did have a baguette already. I violated it, which is not great. I think there should be a rule that I don't have to keep Passover if there's croissant and baguettes. And I don't mean like frozen ones in the New York grocery store. I mean like the real McCoy. I feel like I should get a pass, which of course is ridiculous. I shouldn't get a pass. And I'm embarrassed to even tell you that I violated it. I haven't broken Passover this early my entire life. I've never been away like this, but that's the timing of the London Marathon and Passover. So what were we talking about? Were we trying to talk about the story with Embiid and him complaining about the call and then the replay center not calling a call, the replay center not allowed to call a call? And then I was going to tell you what I've been saying for years. I want the replay center and I want instant replay in every sport to be available for every call. Everything. I don't want to have to carry a book to every game, which I had to do with the rules of what can be challenged and what can't. I don't want to have to teach my manager and my bench coach and my video guy and myself. I want every call challengeable. I want balls and strikes challengeable. Give me robot umps, but it's really an automatic strike zone. I want fair foul. It doesn't matter. Home run, not home run, fan interference, check swing, the whole package. In the NBA, contact, foul, shooting foul, whether you stepped on a line, I don't care. I want the replay center and instant replay to do it. Why? Tennis. I how do I say it any better? Tennis, when the ball's on the line, you find out in 3 seconds, it's either in or out. It's done and you move on. What I want the replay centers to be able to do is to be quick, to be decisive, and to be right. It's three things. Totally reasonable. The thing is, no one is at a game to watch an umpire. The theme of our show so far has been referees, umpires, with a few side talks. I like side talks. Can we talk about the Yankees? People are up in arms over Hunter Wendelstadt. If you don't know the game, Hunter Wendelstadt's an umpire. 5 pitches into the game yesterday, Aaron Boone gets ejected. And it's all right there on video. It is clear as day. No translation needed. Thank God all the video isn't like that or people would be out of business, certain people. But the fact is that we can all hear the conversation between Boone and the umpire. And I'm all for that. I was always in favor of being mic'd. You want to mic everybody down there? No problem. As long as you're willing to hear, we're not curing cancer during a baseball game. Everything, our secret stuff, when how we're addressing this pitcher or how we're attacking that hitter. Oh my God, make sure nobody's watching. Look, we're going to make up hitting our nose and our chin and our ears. No one will know what that means. We're able to decipher other team signs in an inning. Oh no. Oh wait, what's the indicator? Is the indicator touching the hat? Oh no, the indicator's the chest, nose, ear. Give me a break. Just say it. Steal. Bunt. Take. Swing. What's the difference? Curveball. People in baseball are funny. So self-important. And I'm one of them. I'm one of them. I thought that we were brilliant. Our strategies were amazing. So Aaron Boone is having a conversation about something. Who knows what? Hunter Wendelstadt was annoyed. Said, I heard you. Stop talking. This happens all the time during a game. Then all of a sudden, Hunter Wendelstadt looks over, points at Boone and runs him 5 pitches into the game, ejects him. And now the fans are unhappy. Then Hunter Wendelstadt meets the media or releases a statement. And in his statement, basically he claims that he heard something from the area of the dugout. And rather than determine who said it, he said, Aaron Boone's the manager for the Yankees. He's responsible for everything that happens in the dugout. I'm not going to eject a player. Fans pay to see players. Aaron Boone runs the Yankees. He got ejected. I understand that's going to be part of a story or something like that, meaning that it wasn't him and it was a fan. That's what Aaron's portraying. I heard something come from the far end of the dugout. Had nothing to do with his area, but he's the manager, so he's the one that had to go. Hunter Wendelstadt, do me a favor. I try to get umpires to be helpful, Coca. Very much so. Trying to explain to them that, hey, when bad calls happen, let's make a deal. I'll talk to umpires before a game, before a season. You see them in the spring. You talk to umpires. It's totally normal. Can we just get along? You're going to get calls wrong. We're going to overreact at a certain point, and we're going to be wrong. So why don't we just both agree that it'll even out in the end? Do you know who taught me that? Joe Torre, before he even got into the commissioner's office, when he was managing the Yankees in the early part of my career, and I had spent time with him, and we were talking about some frustrating call or something that was going on. And he said to me, and you can talk to him to confirm it. I mean, I always tell you true stories. He said, David, if you want to keep track, keep track, but over your career, over a year, it'll always even out, but it'll never feel like it has. And I thought that was a brilliant way to say it, because all of us feel that we're being slighted by referees or umpires. We feel that our team is not getting the benefit of a call, because that's the human condition. That's the concept of recency bias. It's the concept of confirmation bias, which is you think something happens, and then when it does happen, you use that to prove the truth of that which already happened, even if that which already happened never actually happened. Got that? So my thought to you Yankee fans is this. If you're expecting Aaron Boone to get an apology, it's not going to happen. If you're expecting Hunter Wendelstadt to issue an apology, it's not going to happen. If you expect Hunter Wendelstadt to get disciplined, it's not going to happen. If you expect Aaron Boone to get fined for being ejected, it's not going to happen. What baseball will do in this case, where an umpire was so ridiculous that all the umpire had to do is say, wow, I screwed that one up. I love that. I love being, I'm a fan of the mea culpa self-deprecation. Man, I'm an idiot. I misspoke. Sorry. I slouched down, I coughed, I grepsed, whatever I did without hitting the mute button. Sometimes I hit the mute button just like that. I just hit the mute button for those people watching on Nothing Personal Live with David Sampson YouTube channel. We're also on the DraftKings Network at 10 a.m. And Coca told me something this morning. I don't even know if we can we say it? Or is it still a surprise? I actually don't know. But I think our distribution continues to get wider, which is great. So when Aaron, 4869, start now. So I'm going to do the boom quote now, Coca. All right, get ready to pull it up. 3-42-69. So in a situation where there's clearly a mistake made by the umpire, and Aaron Boone knows it, the best thing for Aaron Boone to do would be to take the high road and just acknowledge it and just don't make an issue. So he said, I feel like I'm treated fairly by umpires and have a good relationship with a lot of them. I'm obviously a little more vocal and fiery than some, so I'm sure it gets some people perked up. But overall, I feel like I'm treated fairly. And what I loved about that is that he's got the most ejections of any manager in the last 6 years, which is funny because how many managers, Coca, have been managing that entire fiery? What did I say? I said fury? Funny. Fiery. Excuse me. That's what your takeaway is from this segment? All right. Do I need to read it again? All right. I'm obviously a little more vocal and fiery than some, so I'm sure it gets some people perked up. But overall, I feel like I'm treated fairly. Boone, who's been ejected 35 times since 2018. Boone as a player, he was so much fun to have on our team. Just a great guy. Really thought he would be a successful manager. Doesn't mean I haven't thought that he was going to lose his job with the Yankees the last 3 years in a row. But that said, how many MLB managers, where is he right now? I forgot to ask you this pregame. Where is he in seniority in terms of same team managing since 2018? I'm trying to think of any club in baseball. Kevin Cash, I don't know how long he's been at Tampa, but it's possible he's been there 6 years. That's AL East. I cannot think of any NL East for sure not. There's a chance. I mean, Bochy left, Melvin left. Who are the other? There's no long term there. Anyway, Coco will get back to me. Maybe tomorrow. Maybe Sarah will do it and creep onto the show. I don't mean creep in a creepy way, like sort of stumble onto the show and say, hey, David, he's the most experienced manager right now. Umpires get stuff wrong. It's totally fine. I just wish they'd own it. That makes it all go away. And we talk to umpires like we talk to players. We talk to executives. It's way easier just to admit you're wrong. We'll say that to a finance employee or to a corporate sales employee. When you're wrong, just admit it. Boone is third longest tenured. So who do we have? Who are the top two? He's the third longest in the AL? That is not, I thought he was number one overall. So I had Kevin Cash. I forgot about Scott Service. I forgot about that. I'm sort of surprised that that's the case. So in conclusion, before we go to break, we are now in playoff time. Everybody's on edge. The season's underway in baseball, but in NHL, NBA, it's playoffs. You're feeling as though that there's a lot of pressure on your team to win. You're feeling as though you're not getting the best of the best referees or umpires, and you're feeling as though you're not getting every call. When your team plays again, or if you don't cheer for any of the teams, but you watch playoffs, do what Will Ferrell had to do in Stranger Than Fiction. When Dustin Hoffman asked him to keep track during a day, whether something was comedy or drama, to find out what his life was, great movie, I strongly suggest it. For those of you paying attention, there's a movie authentic prop in my studio, home studio, that is from Stranger Than Fiction. I'll point it out to you when I'm back there at some point after the tour. But take a piece of paper during the course of a game and write down the two teams. And I want you to keep track of calls that you think went against a particular team. Keep track. And I promise you, it's going to even out. All right. When we come back, we're going to review a mini series. And then we're going to have to talk about what's going on college campuses because it's more serious than games. We'll be right back.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Everyone is talking about magnesium. It's all you hear about. But why? What do we know about magnesium? Well, magnesium is the number one mineral that 75% of Americans are deficient in. If you are a woman over 35, magnesium will help you rediscover balance, energy, and vitality. Magnesium supports more than 300 enzymatic reactions in your body, including those involved in hormonal balance. From functional medicine doctors to mental well-being and female hormone experts, we all know that magnesium is the one mineral to improve all aspects of well-being and health. But which one? Magnesium Breakthrough from Bioptimizers, the trusted choice recommended by leading experts, with 7 best-absorbed forms of magnesium to ensure your body receives the support it needs for overall well-being. Go to bioptimizers.com/balance today and use code BALANCE10 for 10% off. Support your journey to wellness at bioptimizers.com/balance. Magnesium Breakthrough from Bioptimizers, your foundation to optimal health and vitality.
Welcome back to Nothing Personal. We are live from Paris right now. It is 2:34 in the afternoon, 8:34 a.m. Eastern. Thank you for paying attention to our mailbag yesterday. We will have live shows today, tomorrow, and Thursday. One more mailbag Friday, and then back in the States for Sunday. Just wanted to thank you all for all of the downloads and sharing of our pod and growing our pod and everything you do. We appreciate you. If you're looking for a series to watch, please watch Ripley. I'd like to give you a full review, but because of time, I'm just going to tell you that anything Johnny Flynn is in, who you know from Lovesick, one of my favorite TV shows, it's going to be good. Anything with Andrew Scott, Dakota Fanning, it's going to be good. And I'm going to review The Talented Mr. Ripley tomorrow, because the difference between the movie and this 8-episode arc, it is fantastically interesting. Watch both Ripley, and spoiler alert, you're going to want to watch The Talented Mr. Ripley also. Okay. Oh, God damn it, Coca. And you're going to want to watch The Talented Mr. Ripley also. What's going on around college campuses has been weighing heavily on me, and not for the reason that you think, and not for the reason that you're going to say, well, David, you're Jewish, so of course you're about to give us some sort of anti-Palestinian or pro-Israel, pro-war propaganda machine. Then you don't pay attention too much to Nothing Personal. That is not what I'm going to do, despite the number of people who would like me to use this platform to do just that. There are two sides to every story. There's only one side to, I'm not in favor of hostages. I'm not in favor of raping and killing and starting wars. I'm not. I am very much in favor of free speech. And I'm not left. I'm pretty center, actually. I think you may have figured out after 1,037 episodes. What's going on now at Columbia, where there are students who don't feel safe because of protesting that's been going on several campuses, not just Columbia. It's in the news now, not because it's Passover, not because there's still hostages after 200 days since the war started on October 7th. No. It's because the owner of the New England Patriots released a statement that he was no longer going to be supporting Columbia University. And what he means is he's stopping any money giving, whether he gives annually, query if he's in the middle of a pledge, he has to fulfill that pledge, because when you pledge money and you pay it out over 10 years, you actually sign a contract and you can't get out of it because you don't like what's happening on campus, or if your kid doesn't get into school, varsity blues, or whatever the case is. I have no idea the case with Robert Kraft. I do know that he started an amazing, amazing program. I do know that he is against hate speech. That's often the discussion. Hate speech, love speech, free speech. Can there be free speech that's hate speech? Isn't by definition hate speech covered under free speech? Shouldn't anyone be able to say anything? John Cusack style, and he's a good example of it. Does it pain me to watch Susan Sarandon? It sort of does. Does it pain me to hear John Cusack? Sort of does. Do I still watch their movies? I do. Which is totally inconsistent, the art artist thing, because I pick and choose that. Robert Kraft released a statement saying that's it. It's not safe for Jewish people anymore. Therefore, I'm withholding my support. Is that going to change how Columbia now handles the pro-Palestinian protesting that's going on campus? That it turns out there are students who feel unsafe. There are rabbis who are telling students, don't come to class. Don't go outside. Meanwhile, Columbia made their classes virtual because they felt as though the campus was not safe. That's when you know there's a problem. But then you dig a little deeper in your mind and you say, well, that would further an agenda, wouldn't it? You put classes online, that will show how violent the Palestinian protesters are, and that'll make people anti-Palestinian or anti-Palestine. If we act like everything's fine, then we say it's okay for them to do what they do, for Israel to do what they do, or Palestine to do, or Gaza, or Hamas. The real issue at hand that is not being discussed anywhere is that what these campuses are doing is they are choosing free speech as an all-encompassing catch-all to allow for hate speech. But they're not realizing that there are a set of rules that already exist on each of these campuses that, if implemented as they should be, everyone would be safe. There are rules of when you can protest. Do you know what you can't do in New York? You can't get a parade down Fifth Avenue without a permit. You know what else you can't do? You can't protest anything without a permit. Permits are granted for the purpose of a congregation of people to espouse their views, whatever they may be. However much the hair on the back of your waxed neck or lasered neck or shaved neck or hairy neck, however the hairs stand up, doesn't matter. There is a system in place in our country that is what we fought for. The ability to say things that other people don't want to hear. The ability to say things that we don't even believe in. The ability for people to believe in things that they know is absolutely wrong. Whether it's aliens, whether it's JFK, Walt Disney, I don't care what it is. You have the ability. That's what's so great about our country. But there are rules. The rules are being violated. These protests can be shut down, not because of what the subject is of the protest, because of the way in which the protest is being done. Robert Kraft, what has he given? Maybe up to $100 million to Columbia. There are people who give tremendous amounts of money. There's several, there's hedge fund guys, there's team owners. People are calling on any Jewish team owner, follow Robert Kraft. Silence is being complicit. The pressure brought to bear on players, on owners, do something. Former team presidents, do something. Use your platform responsibly. All right, I'll bite. I will use my platform responsibly right now. If you know the exact facts surrounding a subject, don't care what the subject is. It can be calculus, biology, or the war in Gaza. Choose your subject. If people were only allowed to talk about a subject who knew about a subject, I believe we'd all be in a bit of a better position. What happens now is people think that they're armed with all this information gleaned through Wikipedia or three sentences of a tweet or conversations between crazed people at a dinner table or walking down the street or listening to people screaming in a protest. And they say, oh, I know what this is. I get it. I'm taking a position. And then I'm going to double down and tell you that when I take a position, I'm never changing it. Don't tell me 2 + 2 = 4. Because I heard someone say 2 + 2 = 5, and 2 + 2 = 5, God dang it. And I will not be convinced otherwise. Now, don't talk to me about grammar. Wouldn't the world be so much better? Am I delusional? do I have wine on the brain? Thinking that if people only actually spoke about things that they really know and understood both sides of, which gets you right down to nothing personal, where I try to talk about both sides of an issue, try to tell you about what issues are, have you research the issues, and then you decide where you stand? What would be so wrong with that? I did a little sad man on the street, Levitard style. I do that whenever I travel. I do it sports related. I was with someone running the London Marathon and at the starting corral. And I asked this person, do you know Shohei Ohtani? Guess what? Nope, never heard of him. I said, let me get this straight. You've never heard of Shohei Ohtani? No. What do you think of Shohei Ohtani's new contract? I don't know who that is. Do you think Shohei Ohtani gambled on baseball? I don't even know what you're talking about. Fantastic. On to the next subject. What is your view of the war in Gaza right now? I like asking people that question because it elicits a slightly different response than have you ever heard of Shohei Ohtani or Derek Jeter? The response is always incredibly binary. Everyone has a really, really strong opinion on one side or the other. And then I ask the follow-up question. From where did you get this point of view? Oh, because I'm Jewish. Oh, because I'm Muslim. Oh, because I live in London. Oh, because I live in Paris. Oh, because my name is Jean-Claude. People just say things, and it blew my mind. So I have a suggestion. Get yourself educated. Be safe out there, please. The A's are moving to Vegas. Can we lead the show with that? Do you mind? I've been saying, for how long have I been saying that the A's are not moving to Vegas? How long has it been? I think it's been a year. I assume we've had a year worth of wait to seize on this. Last man standing, Bruce Springsteen. News out of Oakland Athletics. For all the people who have supported Nothing Personal through this journey, thank you. We're going to keep going because guess what? The A's to Vegas deal, not done. I have an update. You may have read about it. A motion to intervene. What the hell is a motion to intervene? Samson, you're a lawyer. Tell us what that is. No, not relevant. Let me tell you what's really happening. There is something going on in the courts. Do you remember the teachers in Vegas trying to get the state money to them or to others, but not to the John Fisher and the Oakland A's? SB1, they did that special session and the vote passed. The one that Danielle Gallant wanted to vote for and explained why she voted for it. Because people don't deserve a team in Oakland. Remember that deal? Well, guess what? There is a lawsuit which is saying that the SB1 on its own was an unconstitutional bill. Or in the alternative, if it is constitutional, then there are several procedural things that are wrong with it that require a referendum. Meanwhile, it's going through the court system. The Oakland A's said to themselves, holy crikeys, we better hurry. We got to start construction in April of 25. We got to get the state money here in the next bit of time because if we don't, we lose it. We got to get this going. We're going to file a motion to intervene, meaning pick up the pace. That's all the A's have done. Do you know what judges do with that? Not much. It's not really going to be that interesting to a judge that, hey, we won't be able to open the ballpark on time in 28, or hey, SB1 actually ends up going disappearing. But luckily, the A's president, Dave Cavill, bless his soul, no media training to speak of. He filed. Now, I signed a bunch of filings in my time. I've signed a bunch of things as team president. I'm going to read them first. He signed a declaration that was filed with the court that said missing deadlines that are set forth in this bill called SB1. If we miss them, there are provisions that mean the bill could then get terminated. And then we wouldn't have the state money. And then that means our ballpark would be delayed because we'd have a funding gap. And that would cost the Athletics millions of dollars. I've got a quick word of advice there, Dave. No one cares. I've tried it. That's how I can tell you. I always said, you're delaying our stadium. We had lawsuits that delayed our opening from to 10 to 11 than to 2012. My God, we're losing all this money. The court system, the arbitrators, the real world, they don't give a flying rat's pituitary gland. So when you're filing a declaration and you're filing this motion to intervene, you better come with something good. And the Oakland A's have come with something ordinary. We'll find out if the judge grants it, but I'm going to say probably not. Nothing personal pick of the day. On Friday, the last live show, we gave you three picks. Remember, we had the Kings over the Pelicans. That didn't work out. The Pelicans made it to the next round and already lost game one. We had the Heat beating the Bulls. Easy. The Heat beat the Bulls even without Butler gone. Remember that from Friday's show. But I think the Heat lost to the Celtics in game one. I can't figure out with the time change. Game two may have already happened. But we're 1-1. And then we had Verlander in his return going 5 or 6 innings and beating the Nationals. And he did. So we are 47-61. Let me give you two picks for today, which is Tuesday, April 23rd. Number one, if you've been paying attention to Nothing Personal this season with Nothing Personal picks of the day, you know when Patrick Corbin is pitching for the Nationals, we go against the Nationals. We are taking the Dodgers over Corbin and the Nationals tonight. It's a guaranteed pick. Don't care what day of the week it is. You're going to be happy at the end of the year when he's released, whichever comes first. Then we've got the Mavericks playing the Clippers. I'm quite excited for this game. A, it happens in the middle of the night. I love this time zone, Coca. I get to watch games in the middle of the night when I'm up anyway, and it's outstanding. Clippers won game one without Kawhi, and they won it by 12. Luka and Irving, mediocre. But guess what? The Mavs are favored in game two. One of the things about a better team playing, and I don't view the Sixers as the better road team, losing the first two at the Garden as an example. I do view the Mavericks as a better team than the Clippers without Kawhi Leonard. When you are the better team, you are likely going to get the split. Mavs -2.5 over the Clippers. Well, thanks for being with us. And on behalf of Zach Wilson, I say it's just business. This is Nothing Personal.
Hello, it is your partner, Big Boy. Interested in giving back to your community while making new connections in your neighborhood? Introducing Neighbor to Neighbor, a California volunteers network that empowers you to take action, contribute to local needs, and be a part of something bigger than yourself. Visit caneighbors.com to learn more about how you can get to know your neighbor and strengthen your community. Neighbor to Neighbor, it takes a neighborhood. Hello.